Whether it's financial security, a free vacation home, time for traveling, more quality time with the family, or even early retirement, whatever you choose to do with the income and benefits that come with successfully investing in short-term rentals, you know that it's certainly life-changing. This podcast will help guide and support you on your journey to five-star STR success.
Welcome, everybody, to the Short-Term Rental Investors Facebook group and podcast. I wanted to come on here to talk to you about why the Airbnb bust will destroy 90% of hosts. You've all heard about the Airbnb bust. You're starting to feel it. Here's the thing. It is actually real. This is going to put a lot of Airbnb short-term rental owners out of business. I'm saying Airbnb because that's kind of what people are broadcasting this about, but it's just short-term rentals in general. We know that the short-term rental space, the short-term rental market is not some easy street passive income space. It's full of killers out there. Here's what the Airbnb bust is. Over the last couple of years, as quantitative easing happened after COVID, we experienced a lot of cheap money. Obviously, that's different than today's time when the money is a little bit more expensive, but we had a lot of quantitative easing after COVID, and it made it available to buy homes like crazy to just the general public. So whether your doctor or your lawyer got a home, and or you working in corporate America, your neighbor, pretty much many people, a good portion of many people that we knew bought a short-term rental. And that led to mass adoption and market saturation, specifically if you're buying into vacation spots, like a Blue Ridge, like a Gatlinburg, like an Orlando, and so on. So that's what it is. It's mass adoption, everybody buying in, and then leading to specific areas that is creating mass adoption, creating saturation. So that's kind of what you're looking at. And that's what we've been experiencing the last couple of years. And I've even felt it in my own. So this is what's happening. And what's going to take you out is not actually being able to survive. There's going to be one type of Airbnb host or short-term rental host that's going to be able to survive, but there's also going to be hosts that aren't going to be able to survive. The ones that are going to be able to survive are the ones that are going to thrive, and they're the ones who have the right marketing in place. There's three hosts right now that are getting crushed in the short-term rental business. They don't have any guts to run a business. They don't have, they don't have grit. They're like, oh man, I thought this was going to be passive. I thought this was going to be awesome and easy. And it's not. It's not easy street. It's like, this is a constant struggle, guys. Like my team and I, we are trying to one up our business every single day. Some days I get pissed. Some days I'm happy. Like we get, you know, it's an emotional business. But you know what? I got grit and I can do whatever I got to do to make enough money to pivot. And right now we're selling off some of our short-term rentals. No joke. Another person that's going to lose is the one with a big ego. So I've got a beautiful home and it's backed up to water and it does really, really well, but I bought it on a 7.375% interest rate last summer. And it's not cash flowing the way I want it to. I've got $250,000 locked down. And, you know, it's pulling in $24,000 a year. Guess what? That's a 10% return. That's a 10% net return. But I'm in residential real estate and I've been in residential real estate for 20 years. So I have to look at myself and ask myself a question, like, what can I make off of 250 grand if I was to go buy a property and wholetail it, cleaning it out, trashing it out, putting it back in the MLS? What can I make? You know, lending that money out to first-time flippers because I do hard money lending. I can make 12 to 14%, and I don't have to deal with all the headaches that a lot of people are dealing with short-term rentals. So that actually helps out a lot. Another person that's going to fail right now or that's going to get crushed are the ones that are new to the space. It's still sexy, right? Short-term rentals are sexy, and they're getting in, and they just think that, hey, I just want that second home. I want to be able to, you know, have that place and that space where I can have my friends over this and that. And they don't even know about what's going on. Those are people that are going to fail. They're going to get destroyed. So one, no guts to run a business. They think it's going to be easy. Two, a big ego. Like I could have just sold. I didn't. I could have just really just not sold my home, but I'm like, dude, the return on equity is better. So I'm like, yeah, screw the ego. Ego is the enemy. And then three, new to the space. The people that are new to the space are the ones that are just going to get hammered. All right. So what can you do about this? Here's the thing. You have to be an active manager in your portfolio. The only way to survive this is to be an active manager in your portfolio, meaning you've got to learn marketing, meaning you've got to learn, like, is there a better way to have return on equity? So in this example, I bought it full price. I've only bought two homes in short-term rentals full price, and I bought them, and they got stuck with the higher interest rates last year over the summer. And you know what? They just don't cash flow the way I want them to. I underwrote them off of 5%. I had to refinance them on 7.375. I can't refinance them now because refinance rate with the SCRs are going to be in the 8.5. So what's that return on equity? I got a $250,000 payment I could pull out here that I put down for a down payment, and I can get it back. Plus, I'm making a $10,000 profit. I've held the property over a year, so I'm not going to pay ordinary income on that $10,000. I'll only pay capital gains, long-term capital gains. So that return on equity is a lot better for me in the lending business for first-time flippers. Affordable housing is a need. And you guys may not do what I do, but think about where else you can invest your money. We're selling this house to a homeowner that wants to live here. They're relocating from Florida, and they're going to be living here full-time. And I'm giving them a home that's happy. And I, you know what? I'm okay with that. Another thing that I'm doing is I've got a property in Atlanta. I'm converting that to a long-term rental. I lost $2,000 last year. I actually lost $2,000 in 2021. I'm like, well, shit, if I turn this into a long-term rental, I'll actually make $5,000 for the year. Hell, I can even put it with a property manager and still make $3,600 a year. I don't have to even deal with it. That's what we're doing. The home was renovated back in 2019. So, I mean, I've still got at least 10 years left of shelf life on the roof and the HVAC and the water heater. You know what? I'm going to take it off the short-term rental market, and I'm going to have somebody else deal with that for me. And that's been a blessing. Like, just to actually look through my portfolio and see, think through it clearly and say, hey, these smaller homes, it's actually the smaller homes that are getting roughed up in my portfolio, and I'm sure it's happening to some of you guys, but I'm looking at this, the small homes, they're the ones that are just kicking my rear end. The luxury homes, the larger homes, the homes with the magnificent settings, those are the ones that are actually doing really, really well. But even though I've got one that had a magnificent setting with that lake in the backyard, my slice of heaven, it just didn't cash flow the way I wanted it to originally. So I'm like, shit, no, I'm putting this back into another business. So that's kind of some things that I want you to start thinking about. A lot of people are going to tell you, you just got to market, you got to market, you got to market, you got to do this, you got to do that. No. I've been in real estate for 20 years, and a lot of times you just got to know when it's time to fold. So you got to know when to fold them, kind of thing. And then you also got to know when to hold them. Isn't that a song? But that's kind of what I want you to understand. Like, look at your portfolio and say, hey, is my time up? And can I move this property to somebody else that may be new in the industry? And can I exit and then go find something else at a deeper discount if I want to continue on in short-term rentals? And or possibly, is there a way to make this property a performance artist and make it actually perform well? We've got our six or seven highest income producing homes, and we are going all in on Instagram accounts. We are going all in on marketing with Facebook ads. And we're taking those higher income earners. I've identified which ones are the best ones on my portfolio, and we're just making them a performance artist. Like, okay, if these are making this much money, what if we did this and that to it to maybe give it a 30% increase this year? And I actually think it's going to work, and we're doing that. So I've got that going on, and I want you guys to start thinking like this. Don't be falling into the rank breeze stuff. I mean, that stuff does help. Don't be saying I got to have lead pages. Like, no, just fix your shit. That's kind of what you need to do. All that junk is fine, and you can do that over time, but find out what your highest performing income earners are and then sell the rest and or convert it to something else that may make sense for you to cash flow. Get rid of the ones that are losing money and get rid of the ones that are breaking even and or the ones that are making small profits. If it's not making you enough profit to make it worth your time, just get rid of it. That's my opinion. I just think it's wise real estate. So Like I said, there's going to be owners and operators that are not knowing what they're doing. And you, as a owner operator that are going to be an active manager in your business, you need to have a direct relationship with that property. You need to own that property. You need to lower your operating costs. You need to have a lot of people in involved and helping you with this stuff. Like your cleaners, like helping you reduce costs. You need to have housekeepers doing what they need to do to reduce costs for you. We have cut out, this is going to be bold to say this, and you guys are probably going to think I'm crazy, but we cut out, last year we cut out firewood in all my homes. We've got fire pits. We do give a starter stack. It cost me a few dollars, probably $10 to $12, but no longer am I bringing truckloads of wood out to these homes. But here's the reason why is because people get drunk and they burn through the whole freaking truckload, cost me $150, and then next thing you know, when they leave 3 days later, I got to go get another one. And we were just spending like $1,000 to $1,200 a property in firewood each month because of these knuckleheads. But no, we're done. We cut out water bottles. We cut out wine. I used to give wine for my luxury properties. We also cut out gift baskets. I don't offer anything like this anymore. And you guys might be able to hear my dog barking. My apologies. He saw something. But anyways, look, cut that stuff out. This is a business, and sometimes you got to make cuts. Don't let it hurt your feelings. Don't let it hurt your ego. Look, think about, like I said, where you can put your money that can make you more money, arbitrage and other stuff. Like I created a fund where I can have investors put they can put their money in 7 to 10% we're paying on their interest to borrow their money to go build houses with. So think about like, if I'm not making a certain amount of return on my money, where can I put this in? You know, if I did get rid of this property, where can I put this in to make a little bit better? And that's kind of what you need to start thinking about. So cutting down expenses, reducing expenses, and looking at that return on equity. All right. So here's the thing. In-house operators. What do I mean by this? If you are an in-house operator, you're self-managing your property, you have to scale in every way, every single day. Here's the thing. If you got a bunch of properties like we do, you know, we're actually thinking about taking housekeepers in and paying them by the hour. I'm paying $150 to $200 a cleaner. But I got one area of North Georgia that is actually, you know, we got like 12 homes. What if I just paid a couple cleaners $20 an hour? So that's something that I'm working on right now. You know, 14 to 15, maybe $20 an hour. But professional scaled operators, you got to bring out everything in house. That's some stuff that we're looking at now. We're working on that in our business because I'm spending with that. I hate to be like this, but with that cleaner, I'm spending $5,000 to $6,000 a week with all my properties. My God, I can cut that down to probably $2,000 a week tops. Look, here's the thing. Another person that's actually going to succeed in this industry change is a co-host. They have no skin in the game to operate. They have no skin in the game to make money. They're just going to list your property. Those are the ones that are going to actually win. The people that have ownership right now, those are the ones that are going to lose. If you don't change your thing. So people like me are the ones that are struggling more, and the co-host and or the property managers are actually thriving. They have no skin in the game because they're taking 20 to 25% of your money to run your property. They don't have to pay the rent. They don't even have to pay the mortgage. All they have to do is pay the utilities sometimes. Probably not. Probably they don't even have to pay the utilities most of the time. So if they have 100 properties like yours and your properties drop 70 to 80% in revenue, they can still be collecting 25% of what you're making. So here's the thing. Look, they still have margin. They have margin. They can make a lot of money. And co-host will have, well, they'll be one of the people who survive, and they're going to be unscathed because they don't have to have those carrying costs with them. So those three have something in common. It's the professional scaled operators. They're going to freaking win. The co-host, and then on top of that, the owner operators that are really going after hardcore, making changes in their business day by day. And that's what you're going to see. Those are the people that are going to thrive. So this is something that I want you to understand. To get through this, you have to have multiple categories that are changing in your business, and you're looking at pricing strategy. You're looking at occupancy strategy, differentiation, making your homes different, doing that purple cow mentality, keeping up on how the Airbnb algorithm is working. A lot of people are saying that they're getting 95% direct booking, and they've worked on this stuff way before some of us have. But you got to work on the Airbnb algorithm and make sure that it's working and constantly change. You need to be changing your prices every single day, going to Price Labs, going to Beyond Pricing. Change it every single day. Guys, look, the Airbnb bust is real, and it's not going to freaking change for you. It's not going to get better. Freaking get rid of these properties. Change the property. Look at your return on equity. You got into this for an investment. If you got into this to make some money, freaking get out of it if it's not making the money that you're make that you want to make. I've had to look at myself deep down in my eyes over the last several months, like, damn, dude, I bought these 20 properties, and I thought I was going to make $1 million net a year. And I was going to get my staff great six-figure incomes to run shit for me, and I was just going to be riding off into the sunset with an $800 to $1 million a year net income. And they were going to manage that stuff. And I wasn't naive. I wasn't dumb to know that this stuff was changing. But, you know, where I messed up personally was I put all my eggs in one basket. I moved my flipping crew from Atlanta and I put it in the North Georgia. And to be honest with you, it backfired on me. All my other properties in all these different areas where I'm not as scaled are doing significantly well. But out of all the properties up in North Georgia, only two of them are doing well. They're actually all across the board. They're all doing well. But for me, for what I wanted, they're not performing the way I want. So what I did was I got to change things. And that's what I'm trying to talk to you guys about. So there again, like, look, guys, just understand that you just got to not be loyal to your properties anymore. You just got to really not be loyal to your business anymore. You've got to do things for you, and you've got to make sure that things are changing. Because if you're not going to do this in this way, you're going to get destroyed. I hope that makes sense, guys. So be blessed and have a good day.